The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Republican Senator Joni Ernst is celebrating the overturn of Roe v. Wade by proposing new legislation to make June the month of life.
A press release from Ernst's office states the senator celebrated the overturn of Roe v. Wade by crafting this bill. Ernst says this effort to designate June as the month of life celebrates what she describes as a major victory for the pro-life movement. Now, according to the bill's text, every year the president would be required to issue a proclamation, which in part reaffirms the dignity of human life. Now, it states this includes supporting both life inside and outside the womb, as well as that of the pregnant mother. The president would also voice commitment to surrounding mothers, fathers, and children with the tools they need to survive and thrive.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That is such a great story, and I just love that idea. Good afternoon. I'm Drew Mariani. It's good to be with you today. My hat off to Senator Joni Ernst of Iowa. She has requested June be designated as a national month of life. I think that is a brilliant idea, right? Why not? Right now, you know what month is known for? The month of the Sacred Heart, right? What else is it known for? Marty got it before he said the Feast of the Sacred Heart, the month of the Sacred Heart. Marty's running the board here in the studio that I'm in right now. And yes, Marty, Pride Month. You are right. That's what June is known for, unfortunately. Celebrating all kinds of sexual deviance. But there is a bill that's been introduced to Congress. It's going to officially mark June as the month of life. And it makes sense, right? This is the month in which Roe was overturned. Senator Joni Ernst spearheaded that effort, as you heard, and obviously wants the president every year to make a proclamation. Here's the deal. It's not going to make it through Congress, right? No way. I mean, I would love to be so wrong on this issue. Boy, would I love to be wrong on that. It won't make it through Congress, but it could possibly get passed in the next session of Congress. I guess it all depends on, I guess, how the midterms go and how you vote, right? I go back to a point that I feel like I regurgitate. I say it so often, right? We get who we vote for, you know, and we get who we put into office, and we reap the benefits of those representatives. So vote for well-formed, moral, life-loving, you know, dignity-respecting individuals. That's what we need, as we need in office. So congratulations, Senator. I'm grateful for at least making the effort and making some headlines here. I would love to have June known as the month of the Sacred Heart, but also the month of life. Wouldn't that be great? It was June in which marriage was redefined. It was June that, you know, Pride Month took over. I think it's time for us to take it back. And how pleasing to God would that be, huh? Archbishop Joseph Nauman of Kansas City, Kansas. Did you hear what he said? He told a German news outlet he was sad. Why? Well, because of what Pope Francis said. Here's a bishop making this comment. He's sad because of how Pope Francis is dealing with Joe Biden and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi on the abortion issue and on communion. And I'm going to stand with Archbishop Nauman, not that I'm against the Pope at all. I mean, we need to pray for him. He's the vicar of Christ on earth. But there is confusion. And I think so often the hallmark of the evil one of his very visible signs is confusion. It's confusion and division, right? Misunderstanding, lies. That's what the evil one represents. And a lot of confusion, I think, in the culture right now. This is what he said. He said, quote, "It is not pastoral to tell someone they are a good Catholic and receive communion as a matter of course when that person has committed a grave evil. The fact that the Pope received Nancy Pelosi was politically exploited, and in so doing, Francis is doing exactly what he wants others not to do." End of quote. So now he tempered the statement slightly after hearing the Pope had characterized Biden's position as incoherent, and it really is incoherent. I think it's a perfect word to describe what Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi are, their positions are doing. So absolutely horrible. Prayers for Archbishop Nauman, prayers especially for our Pope, and prayers especially for our leaders, those Catholic ones especially, who are really, they're racing down a road to their own destruction and their own perdition. I don't know if you need a refresher on the issue. Heed the words of Cardinal Francis Arinze from Nigeria. Listen to this.
to the person who says, personally, I am against abortion, but then, if people want to do it, I leave them free, you could say, you are a member of the Senate or the Congress. Personally, I am not in favor of shooting the whole lot of you. But if somebody else wants to shoot all of you in the Senate or all of you in Congress, it's just pro-choice for that person. But personally, I'm not in favor. That is what he is saying. Once people ask me, if a person votes for abortion, can the person receive Holy Communion? My reply was, do you really need a cardinal from the Vatican to answer that? Get the children for First Communion and say to them, somebody votes for the killing of unborn babies and says, I voted for that, I will vote for that every time. And these babies are killed, not one or two, but in millions. And that person says, I am a practicing Catholic. Should that person receive communion next Sunday? The children for First Communion will answer you that at the drop of a hat. You don't need a cardinal to answer that.
Oh, gosh, that's great. I absolutely love that. Absolutely love it. Maggie, you have got to save Cardinal Arinze's audio. I want to play that again and again. It's one of those pieces of audios that we resurrect, like when we talk about the whole confusion, the lie of being transgender. And there's this man on the Peace Street that I love to play where, you know, a guy goes out, he's 6'3", he's an Italian, he's, 30 years old, 40 years old, whatever he is, and says, would you believe me if I am a 5'4" Chinese woman, 14 years of age? And how does a person say no if that's what he identifies as? Doesn't make it a reality, right? It's such a classic piece of audio when they take to the street and they highlight this. To Cardinal Arinze's point, he's right. I mean, you go to a group of children and ask them the question, is this a good Catholic, somebody who votes for, advances, or goes ahead and kills children? Should they be able to receive communion? No. And why is it so complicated for adults? Why is it so complicated? Silly. Absolutely silly. Love that audio. Maggie, keep that top tier. We'll run that again at some point. I love that. Great call. Maggie, of course, the producer on the show today, doing a great job behind the scenes. Let me share one quick other piece of news, and then we'll change gears. I do want to tell you about an alert I got, and I want to put it on your radar. First, this story here, there's a new Real Clear Politics there's a new poll conducted by Real Clear Politics. They did this, I think, for EWTN News. They found that Catholics are about evenly split right now on which party they will vote for in the upcoming midterms. And I'm sitting back after listening to Arinze and the rest of the stuff. And I'm like, okay, you're Catholic, right? If you're listening to me right now, fill me in. How are you voting? Who are you going to vote for? Does the political flag, does partisanship, is that more important to you than the moral tenets of your faith? Apparently, it must be for about half of these people because it's pretty evenly split. I'm always flabbergasted when I see these types of polls, and I don't think this way. I don't know how people rationalize this. I don't know how intelligent people can come to these conclusions. The poll found that only about half of voting Catholics believe in the real presence. Well, that's going to change, and I'll tell you why. There's a huge effort by the nation's bishops right now to rekindle devotion to the Eucharist, to make very visible, to bring very forward this reality, the source and summit of our faith. You do yourself a tremendous service by disbelieving that. And maybe it's poor catechesis, maybe it's better education's needed, maybe it's a personal encounter. I'm going to work on a book this year And I meant to start it last year, never got around to it. My life has been a whirlwind recently. But I'm working on one on the Eucharist, just like I did with Divine Mercy. And you know, I want to inspire people to be on fire for the Lord, to want to spend time with Him in adoration, to want to receive Him worthily, to understand the sacrifice of those who've gone before, to understand the mystical encounter that you'll have if you're properly disposed to the Lord. So let's hope. Let's hope that the Eucharistic revival has impact. Pray for our bishops. That's underway. If you could support it in any way, do so. But I know we at Relevant Radio will be in the days ahead, certainly, trying to do much more on that front. Let me change gears. James Harden's going to be joining me in a minute. Before I go to him, let me fill you in just quickly on that tragic story out of Ohio and Indiana. And I've been reporting on it. We had some news initially that I brought clarity to the following day, made an on-air correction about some of the news that was being reported. Well, new news continues to unfold. That 10-year-old girl who was raped and impregnated by an illegal immigrant, unfortunately, as brutalized as she's been, she's now being used as a political pawn. Gerson Fuentes, he allegedly confessed to Columbus police that he had raped this girl twice. And as a result, she became pregnant. And by the time the girl's mother realized that the girl was a little more than 6 weeks pregnant, under Ohio law, abortions are illegal after a heartbeat can be detected, which is usually around 6 weeks. So right now, it's not clear who made the decision to take the girl across state lines. Was it the mother? Was the state child welfare agency she reported the incident to? The girl was taken to Indianapolis for an abortion. Abortionist Dr. Caitlin Bernard was going to go ahead and perform her dark arts on the unborn child. Concern was raised about whether the abortionist properly notified Indiana authorities about what was going on. But the Indianapolis Star and the National Review, they confirmed that she did file the proper paperwork and it was in a timely manner. However, you know, the listed age of the assailant is problematic. If Fuentes is 18 years or older, he could, of course, be charged with statutory rape, which would mean a harsher sentence. But in this document, the abortionist, the one that she filed, states he's only around 17. Columbus police booked him in as 27. So I'm joined right now by James Harden, CEO of Compass Care Pregnancy Services. He lives outside of Rochester, New York, with his wife and 10 children. And he's been with me in the past. I enjoy our conversations very much. He pioneered one of the first measurable and repeatable medical models in the pregnancy center movement and has just done an unbelievable work helping hundreds of centers nationwide become more effective at reaching more women and saving more babies from abortion. And as my producer Maggie said to me the other day, you know, abortion, Roe v. Wade, the fall of it is not just about the end of legalized murder in this country. As we know, it's still legal in a number of states. It really is about showing the dignity of the human person and life. It really is about something much larger. We have to, if you want to be pro-life, then we need to be better, more effective at reaching women and saving babies. And James writes extensively on medical ethics and pro-life strategies, and I've invited him to stop by today. Oh, you remember one last thing about him. His pro-life medical center in Buffalo, that was firebombed, by the way. He was one of the victims of that. You want to learn more about him, it's compasscare.info. Jim, good afternoon. Good to have you back.
Oh, thanks for having me back. It's really an honor to be with you.
Yeah, it's an honor to talk with you. I appreciate your work. I mean, you really are the tip of the spear right now. I mean, Roe has fallen. Praise God for that. I mean, whoever thought we'd see that and say that. But the battle continues, different forms. And I think if we really want to show the dignity of the human person in life, we have to do exactly what you're doing. Let mothers know there are alternatives. We need to help them and help their babies. Hey, let's talk about this Ohio girl first. Maybe we could talk about what's next and take a few phone calls here, too. But I'm going to guess that you had this girl's, you know, you've had girls in this age range of this girl, right? That came seeking help. I mean, what do we do for girls of all ages? I mean, this horrible Ohio story is one horrible thing of girls being raped. Have you ever had to deal with a young child that came in pregnant? I mean, tell me a little bit about what you do, what you've encountered, the condition many of these women are in, and how, you know, what your efforts do to ultimately maybe change their course and save their lives.
That's a great question. we've seen many young girls, none as young as 10 years old, quite frankly, but, you know, 11, 12, 13. And the first question we always ask is there a crime going on right here? For a girl that young to come in thinking she might be pregnant is always the first red flag. And we are mandated as medical providers to report that to the Child Protective Services and law enforcement. So, you know, I was one of my mentors was Dr. Edmund Pellegrino at Georgetown University, physician and father of modern medical ethics. And he said, you know, we need to have what you've written, Jim, and that is a clear understanding of medical ethics in the field of women's reproductive health care. We need to protect these women. We need to raise the standard of care to these girls and women. And the abortion industry doesn't represent care. It represents quackery. And we need to find ways to reach and serve them with ethical medical care, because specifically, all people are made in the image of God and deserving of blessing and protection. The tragedy that Dr. Edmund Pellegrino saw at Georgetown University Medical School was a barrage of new medical students who were, as you described it, uncatechized in the ways of what it means to be human under God. And that is one of the primary problems that we're having with allowing abortion in America.
Yeah. No, I could not agree with you more. My guest today, Jim Harden, if you want to join us, we'll take a few calls for you in just a second. The number is 888-914-9149. The case of this girl is being politicized right now. It's going to be used to make, I think, Republicans, you know, look bad in the coming election. Even when the president delivered it, you know, he was all angry and saying how horrific this was. And it was. I mean, this is one of those cases, unlike rape and incest are the two that really blur the line for some people. If I was a pro-life politician coming to you for advice, and I know you're a strategist in this area, what should those running on the life platform, maybe even the Republican platform, because most Democrats do not hold that life view, how should they approach it, handle it? What would you advise in the days ahead as candidates want to say, hey, I am pro-life?
Well, I think there's three things. Number one, make sure that we uncover all the fraud in the abortion industry. They are perpetrating a fraud upon the population. They're saying that chemical abortion, which represents now 50% of all abortions in America, are safer than Tylenol, and it's 400% more dangerous than a surgical abortion. The other thing that we need to do is, equally protect pro-life organizations, pro-life pregnancy centers. They're being attacked not only by domestic terrorism, as we've experienced in Buffalo, but also by pro-abortion politicians like Joe Biden, like Elizabeth Warren, like New York State Governor Hochul. They're all-out attack, trying to wipe us off Google Maps and shut us down. But why? Only because we don't perform or refer for abortions. And then I think that the third thing is we need to get these politicians to make sure that the law is enforced. Equally, not just for pregnancy centers and pro-life people, but also for women who are victims of sex crimes like this poor 10-year-old girl. Yeah. There's so many questions that are swirling around this poor 10-year-old girl that was transported across state lines to get an abortion in Indianapolis. We need to make sure that all those laws are being enforced and not so that these women aren't being exploited for the purposes of the agendas of these pro-abortion politicians.
Yeah, let me ask you about what's going on today, too. The House, from what I understand, I had received an alert yesterday, actually, from the Knights of Columbus. They're voting today on a bill that would overturn all pro-life laws around the country and legalize abortion for any reason, right up to birth. I don't think that's going to get the traction they hope it does, but who knows? I mean, how far do you think that will actually go?
Well, I think they're putting up a test balloon. I think they're trying to get everybody on the rolls to figure out who's on their side. This is an all-out war.
Right.
This is an all-out war on pro-life people and organizations. And look, if everybody in our country is not blessed and protected, if everybody's not considered a person, then we don't have rule of law anymore. We have rule of man. We have a tyranny.
Yeah, so true. Let's grab a call or two for you from around the country. Let's go to Margaret listening in Illinois. Hi, Margaret. Good afternoon.
Hi. I was calling to say that, first, I'm Catholic. Second, I'm a Republican, and I can never be Democrat. And if you read Enoch 69:12, it tells you the devil's mm-hmm. name, who is in charge, who attacks, tells men to attack the embryo in the womb for a miscarriage. I mean, if that doesn't tell you what abortion is and who's behind it, then nothing will.
Okay. Well, thank you. You know, here's the thing. She said she'd never vote for a Democrat. The thing about that, I mean, right now the Democratic Party happens to be the party of death. Unfortunately, I know some Democrats listening might think I'm being unprejudicial. There's a representative out of Illinois who got primaried. His name's Lipinski. He was a pro-life guy. We need pro-life Democrats. And I say that because I think our country's stronger when we have two parties and we can look at issues that really matter and we're not divided strictly by partisanship or a particular issue like this life issue. I wish we had pro-life Republicans and Democrats, and we could talk about other issues that really do matter, like inflation and the economy and energy and all those other things that impact us so much. But I understand where she's coming from, and I'd like your take on that, Jim. I mean, right now, these parties have become not just politically partisized, but when it comes to life, I don't know, based on the platform and everything that the Democrats are pushing, how anyone who believes that life is sacred could vote along those party lines or put somebody in an office like that. I mean, look at Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi are doing right now. Look at Chuck Schumer. Look at so many of these other people who are advocating for this culture of death. I'd love your take.
Yeah, I agree. These pro-abortion politicians are just that, pro-abortion, and that's all. They are tools of the billion-dollar abortion empire. And I would say this, if these political officials, these representatives, miss the point, there's one primary job of government, and that's to protect all citizens equally, to ensure that blood is not shed, a man does not shed man's blood. If they miss that point, they miss the whole point of what their oath means. They're supposed to protect all citizens equally under the Constitution. And as soon as they start parsing out who qualifies as a person and who does not qualify as a person under the law, that is the basis for systemic injustice. And they ought to be laughed out of office or imprisoned.
All right, we'll go to who's up next? Let me just see. Is it Reinico in Austin? Good afternoon.
Hi, Reinico. It's Reinico, yes. Yeah, so first time calling, so I do apologize the jitterness, but I really enjoy your show, and I just think regarding Trump and just the voting part, I'm Catholic myself, and I just, whenever I just get so much slack or so much beef, if you will, I'll just say, oh, why would you vote for that crazy guy and all this stuff, and they lump me in a category, and I just want to share my opinion that, you know, I'm a hardworking, you know, middle class man, father, my wife and I, we have three kids, and I just take it very seriously when it comes to abortion. When I learn more, I'm Mexican myself, so I listen to the Mexican side news as well. And there were some things that he helped out in Mexico regarding abortion and contraception and all these things that you just don't hear, that, you know, you might hear it from Relic Radio or EWTN, right. And you're like, wow, like, you're hearing this sigh that CNN's of the world, they're saying this crazy man. Then you hear these, you know, Catholic organizations, the Catholic, you know, you know, you go straight to the horse's mouth to read the news on what it is. And it's a different picture. So I strive to tell people that first I'm Catholic and this is very dear to me. And then just second, I know a lot of people, you know, it's just so polarizing. Just close with this, like, it's just hard to group 350 million people into two categories. So I love what you said about, you know, Democratic, you know, pro-lifers. I believe in that. I believe there are many, if you want to call it, you know, quiet Democrats that don't believe in abortion. I would love to hear about them. But yeah, thank you.
I appreciate the call. I'm glad you had it. Your first call's out of the way now, so I hope to hear from you again. It was great comments. And let's pick up on what he had to say there, too. And I think it's an important one. I love the comment, 350 million people. It's hard to lump them into two particular categories because there's a lot of different areas on that spectrum. I happen to be a Catholic, a follower of Christ. I know you are a Christian as well. You know, I think our faith, the tenets of Jesus Christ, respect and for the dignity of the human person, and respect for life, it crosses political boundaries, you know? And there are a lot of issues that cross the political divide, and I hope one day we'll be able to bridge those particular gaps. But I only have about a moment or two left right now, so let me get, before I have to take this break, let me get some final thoughts from you too, Jim, if I could.
Yeah, you know, he's got a great point, Renico does, and Jesus demonstrates that all people are invaluable just by, number one, enfleshing, incarnating, right? But number two, even more importantly, dying on the cross for us. If Jesus, being God in the flesh, decided that his life was worth our lives, that says that we're invaluable. And so all people need to be protected and blessed. And I also say the Democrats, there is an opportunity. Anytime you talk about the pro-life issue or the abortion problem, it's been proven that the population moves toward being more pro-life. We just need to keep talking about it. What you're doing today right now is exactly what needs to keep happening. We just need to keep the conversation alive, and the Democrats will begin to move to become more pro-life.
Well, always a delight to have you here. Thank you for making time for us. Your organization, too, CompassCare.info, is that the best way to track you down?
You can go to CompassCare.info, yep, or ErasingTheNeed.com.
That sounds good. Jim, keep up your good work. Let's talk again soon, okay?
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You got it. All right, I've got to take a short pause. When we come back, state rep will be on from us. He's a state rep, I believe, from Maine, so stay with us.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Be a saint. You weren't made to fit in. You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
It's good to be with you today. Thanks for joining me. If you are just tuning in, taking a look at some of the big news of the day, and we were talking a little bit about life, what the next step is now that the Dobbs decision has come out, Roe has been overturned, and you know, I've often said it's so important to have well-formed men and women in office. And I think we as citizens, as part of the constituency, we need to use the power of our vote to put into office those men and those women. We need to go ahead and to pray for them as well. It's our moral obligation. As I often refer to our founding fathers, they've often talked about how this great experiment, you know, in ordered liberty, this democratic republic that we have, will only be successful if it's based on a virtuous people. And on the phone right now with me is none other than State Representative Michael Lemelin. He hails from the 88th District in Maine, and it's good to have him here. He's in the car now driving, called part of the conversation, and it's good to have you with me today, Congressman. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you for having me on. I just wanted to comment on what you guys were talking about a minute ago about the pro-life. Here in Maine, that I know of, we only have one Democrat that's pro-life, and he is Catholic. Mm-hmm. Other than that, it's mainly the Republican Party. And even though the Republican Party has shown me that they are pro-life for the most part, I would say very strongly, they still lack courage. And that's the sad part. That's why we need your prayers. To give you an example, in the Health and Human Services Committee, they wanted to give, in the state of Maine, $200,000 to Planned Parenthood because of the COVID virus. And I'm the only one that spoke out. Not only that, but I spoke out boldly. I said, why would I vote for the people of Maine to give $200,000 to an organization that, one, kills babies, and two, they make more profit than drug lords? Well, yeah, the Democrats came unglued, and they were very displeased that I spoke out like that. And secondly, they voted that through. Then the next day, because one representative was so upset, and she's one of the leaders, she changed it from $200,000 to $500,000 to give to Planned Parenthood.
Oh, my God.
So, but the end was a little sweet. I prayed heavily on this, and in the end, they need to get the budget through at the end, and they need two-thirds vote. In order to get the two-thirds vote to pass the budget right away, they need Republicans' votes. So when we were in caucus, our leader said some things, and I looked at her and I said, Kathleen, I will not approve this budget in any way, shape, or form as long as there's any money going towards Planned Parenthood. Every single Republican said, I'm with him. And believe it or not, we won, and the money ended up not going to Planned Parenthood so that they could get their budget through. But what we need is courage. And that's what I'm not seeing enough of. People are afraid to speak out, especially here in Maine. You know, we are a very strong Democratic state. Yeah. And it's tough to speak out. You know, I have a family. I have a business. And if these people wanted to, they could hurt me. But I feel I have an obligation, and I work very closely with our bishop's office. And to me, we have to support our faith.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a shame that you have to be concerned that you will be harassed or attacked. I see what's happening with the Supreme Court justices. We see with others who hold that type of position. I have a lot of respect for those who are willing to hold public office. It's a great responsibility, and I want you to know we do pray for you every day. I pray for our elected officials all the time, and you have a very liberal state, that's for sure. I love the state of Maine. I've vacationed there numerous times. I'm going to be there in a few weeks. I go there every year, and I'm glad that we have good leadership like you. I got to ask you a question about the Department of of Health and Human Services, HHS. Do you feel outgunned on that? You know, how powerless or empowered do you feel participating in that particular department?
Well, for the most part, I was powerless. People don't realize that in politics, the people in power have the power. In other words, there are eight Republicans on the committee and eight Democrats and five Republicans. So if the Democrats want to pass a bill, it's passed. There's nothing you can do about it. However, what you have to do is you have to find a way to embarrass them without being disrespectful to a point where, you remember, everything is, videotaped and audiotaped. So if you make them look foolish enough, if I may use that harsh a term, in a polite and professional way, then they can't vote for something. But otherwise, they're really going to move forward. The advantage I had was, believe it or not, a beautiful comment. Senator Ned Claxton was the chair, and I have tremendous respect for him because he is a class act. And he allowed the Republicans a lot of leeway, and he helped us work on bills, and that was a plus. Without him, it would have, to be honest, it would have been a joke.
Yeah. Well, look, keep up the good fight. I'd love to talk to you again, Congressman. It'd be great to have you stopping by. Gosh, we have the midterms coming up. That should be a bloodbath as well coming up. I think Americans are very disenchanted with the very liberal policies that have been in play across the country and what they're leading to. Before I let you go, what do you foresee coming this November? How do you think things will shake out? Although I shared a poll, and I think you probably heard me mention it, that there was a real clear politics poll that was done. And as a Catholic, I'm a Catholic. People are pretty much split in terms of the way they're going to vote. What do you see coming in November?
I'm not sure. I am 100% positive that in the U.S. House and Senate, that's going to flip. There's no question in my mind, and Myra Flores has proven that. here in Maine, we're very hopeful, believe it or not, that we will gain either the House or the Senate and possibly having our governor, Paul LePage, come back.
Yeah.
However, you really, Drew, you just don't know. But I do, I'm hopeful that it's actually going to happen. I have a good gut feeling. I've been knocking on a lot of doors, and I see a change coming.
That sounds good. Well, hey, thanks for taking the time to join us here. Keep up your good work there on Capitol Hill and in your state, and thank you for all that you do. It's great to have you here.
Absolutely. And, Drew, listen, you know, I'm online. It's my cell phone listed. When you come to Maine, if you'd like to talk for a few minutes in person, feel free to call my cell phone anytime, and I'll answer it, and we can get together shortly.
I would love it. Stay on the line for a minute because my producer wants to talk to you very quickly if she could. Thank you.
Okay.
That's State Representative Michael Lemelin. Say a prayer for him. And as I said, he proudly has served House District 88 for, I think, since 2020. He was elected to his first term in November 3rd, 2020. So, look, we do have midterms coming up. Do your due diligence. Know where people stand on issues, right? Be well-formed. Put good men and women into office that will make a difference in advancing the common good. I need to take just a short pause. When we come back, I want to bring you up to speed on just an amazing development. You might have heard of the James Webb Space Telescope. After many millennia living on planet Earth, there's still a lot of things we do not know. I'll tell you what secrets this is revealing when I return.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
We receive hundreds of your phone calls every day, all thanks to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line. Our sponsor offers flexible life insurance and annuities. Visit relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
The Chaplet of Divine Mercy, live. Coming up, you're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
At T-minus 15 minutes, we'll pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. And what a powerhouse time of prayer that is. I love that. People all over the nation and literally around the world. I love the calls we get from South Africa and various parts of Europe and even Asia joining us for prayer. So, good time, lots of fruit from that coming up. But, you know, one of the great mysteries of life, if I was not a broadcaster, and you know, God has a mission for all of us in life. I was having a conversation with somebody earlier today about this. You know, their half their life has been squandered. And this person claims that when they were a child, the Virgin Mary appeared to them. And they saw the Mother of God and has never left them, even though this person went down a very wayward path. And the person said to me, I know that God, my life has meaning and worth. He says, I know God has some sort of mission for me. And I told him, I said, it certainly does. You know, I thought I'd be anchoring TV news today. Instead, I'm sitting here behind a microphone doing talk radio with you. And I could not be happier. This was where God wanted me. I initially wanted to be an astronaut. No, but who didn't? What little boy doesn't want to fly to the moon, right? I'm still fascinated by it. I geek out all the time on this type of stuff. My next guest, Father Chris Corbelly, knows that. We'll be joining me in a minute. We'll talk to him about it. But the James Webb Space Telescope is making headlines. And, you know, the reason I love this thing is so powerful. And we're going to learn so much from it. What exactly is at the center, right, of our universe? How many kinds of mysteries are going to be unlocked? How far back in time can we see? You know, space is one of those great frontiers that we have barely even scratched the surface of. I mean, we've been watching the stars wheel about the Earth for eons, and since the telescope was invented back in the 1600s, we continue to make these discoveries about things like black holes and galaxies. And you know, the instruments that we have right now, they're primitive, to be honest with you. They are. It's be amazing to see what the future holds. They just scratch the surface of the amount of knowledge that we can learn about what's out there. But we have a new instrument, a new tool. This is, scientists say, is giving us a leap forward. I mean, we really are going to advance pretty radically. It's absolutely revolutionizing our view of space. Now, if you thought the Hubble Space Telescope was incredible, and I did, wait till you see the images You might have already seen some of them from the James Webb Space Telescope, the images that are being sent back. I saw one, I guess it was a NASA official or some astronomer. She talked about having seen these before it went public and what a profound, even life-changing experience it was for her. The telescope was launched last year. NASA's been fine-tuning it for a while, and it's a very complicated instrument that's been developed internationally, and the images we're seeing are just, as I said, stunning. It's probably the best word for it. One shot looks like a bunch of stars and other space objects that are just light years away, and there is a clarity that you could never dream of. We're also going to start getting images of objects in our own solar system, like Jupiter. So I thought we'd talk about it for a moment. You know, Father Chris Corbelli is a Jesuit priest who is a research astronomer for the Vatican Observatory, serves as president of the National Committee for Astronomy in the Vatican City State, and it's good to have him with us today. Hey, Father, thank you for your patience. Always good to talk with you.
Not at all, Drew. It's good to talk with you as well and to hear your enthusiasm about the Webb telescope.
I'm such a child. I really am. I'm such a little boy at heart when it comes to this stuff. And I can't wait to see what, you know, over the course of the months ahead, begin to come in. You know, to the untrained eye, if you take a look at some of the first images that we received, they're just a bunch of stars. But there's so much more. I mean, I see these experts all saying how profound what we're receiving is. What are you seeing when you look at them? And tell me a little bit about why James Webb and this particular telescope is going to be so significant to unlocking some of the secrets of the universe.
Goodness, that's quite a tall order. But my reaction is the same as the person who's one on the faculty here at the University of Arizona, George Reiki. He is in charge of the mid-infrared camera. And his reaction was, wow, to the pictures. And that's my reaction. I think it will be everyone's. And we had a wonderful session here at the university with astronomers gathered in a big lecture room on Wednesday morning, and revealing an hour long from NASA, revealing these five images. And it really was a wow experience. George Reiki, Dr. George, or Professor George, was there, along with his wife, Professor Marcia Reiki, who is in charge of the near-infrared camera. So here we had two. And it was wonderful to celebrate with them 20 years of hard work of getting a telescope like this up in space. It makes astronauts, as you say, of us all, and that's the wow.
It really is. You know, there's discussion about looking back at the beginnings of a Big Bang. And when people hear that, they're thinking, I don't understand that. How can that happen? Maybe put that into some context. This telescope is so powerful, and we know light travels at a particular speed, but how can you go back and look at the beginnings of the Big Bang?
Well, we don't look at the beginnings of the Big Bang. What we do with this telescope is near to the beginnings. So we look at the first formation of blank, 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 because we're not terribly sure whether, you know, stars formed, or whether it was galaxies or the groupings of stars formed, or was it a kind of some kind of combination of both of them. So that's what the Webb telescope is going to help us do. So you see, what really started happening when things started forming, when all the opaque, you know, energy from the Big Bang started to, you know, become transparent, and things started to form and be able to coalesce and come together in the stars and galaxies we see. So that's the you know, the excitement of the Webb.
So Father, you think this will also help scientists to find other habitable planets? We'll be able to look closer at the sun, you know, other planets in general. I mean, how do you see this being used?
Yeah, well, so one of the five, you know, first images was of the unattractive name of WASP-96b. So WASP is obviously a survey. 96 is the 96, and B is a planet around that star. And what by the Webb telescope showed, by subtracting the spectrum of the star with the planet going across its surface, so transiting across against the spectrum of the star on its own once the planet had gone through. Subtract them, and you get the planet spectrum. And so we could see what the atmosphere of that planet, and fascinating things, mainly water. So close is, you know, a ninth. This giant planet was a ninth of the distance of Mercury from our sun, so it was really close. And basically what happened, an awful lot of very hot steam there. And that's what it found, as well as things that were missing in elements. So it's always always fun.
Well, Father, it's always good to talk with you. I am grateful for the insight. Thank you for being here. I will continue to monitor what comes in, and I know you and I will be talking again, as we always do. I appreciate you making yourself available to us.
Very much so. Good. And God bless you and all your staff.
God bless you. That's Father Chris Corbelli. He's a Jesuit priest who's a research astronomer for the Vatican Astronomer. Vatican Observatory, I should say. He's an astronomer, though. I mean, what a cool field. You know, I love this stuff. I know it can get kind of heady, but when you hear about things like the James Webb telescope that can, you know, unlock some of the secrets of the universe, when you gaze into the infiniteness of space, when you think about God's creation, right, the endless boundaries, to me, it speaks to me of God's power and of his might. It's so interesting how man's understanding of his environment has changed. You just think back to early man and, you know, look, we were worshiping the moon and the sun, right? And now we understand, you know, orbital mechanics and so many other things. There was a time when we believed the earth was flat, right? That we were the center of the universe. Today we know we live on a sphere that circles a star and travels around a giant galaxy. The size of our galaxy, in fact, this is what always amazes me. It's so wide, right? Just to try to give you perspective, just our galaxy alone, not counting all the other galaxies, right? But just our galaxy is so wide that light that travels at 186,000 miles per second. That's the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second. Just across our galaxy, it would take you 100,000 years. Can you imagine that? Now, zoom out from our galaxy, right? You ever see those animations, and they just show you how many other galaxies are? Think about that. Think of God's creation. Think about how vast the universe is. Think about traveling at the speed of light. Even stars that you gaze at tonight, when you look up at the night sky, that light you see may have actually burned out centuries ago. So as science continues to evolve, I think we'll be able to see further and further outward, and we're seeing that with James Webb. Science even probes deeper and deeper. I mean, take a look at what we're able to do. There are yet another universe with just as many mysteries. And what's it say to me? It says that God is the author of all life and all creation, that there's a complexity to God's creation. We think we know everything, right? We think we're in control. God put all this in motion. He created all of this. Just look at that nice sky. Just try to think about the perspective of the vastness of the universe, or the sub-universes, if you will, of the atomic level. From myriads or shapes and forms that you can touch to the molecules and the atoms that make them up. I mean, creation to me is such a mystery. It's incomprehensible. And yet all of this, just to give you a final thought on this, all of this is the tiniest thought in the mind of God. The tiniest thought. All this is less than a grain of sand and all the seashores surrounding all the oceans of our world. When we compare it to the immensity of our Creator, to his brilliance, to he who always was and always will be. I don't know. That's maybe why I love space so much. I quite often think if you're ever alone, right, if you ever question maybe where God is in your life, maybe you're wondering why you're suffering or why life is so difficult, stare long at the night sky. Contemplate the heavens. Contemplate, reflect on the great mystery that just surrounds you. And know that God, in his infinite power, created all that. And above all, he created you, his greatest creation. and he loves you more than all that you're gazing upon. And he will never abandon you, and he knows your situation, and that he will bring good out of your situation. He's giving you a free will. He just wants you to use it. He wants you to trust him, to have faith, to walk with him, to believe that he is your father, that he can heal, that he can reverse your situation, that he can help you find a way where there is no way out. And that's the beauty of our eternal Father. It's the beauty of our faith, right? It's the beauty of God's creation. And it's the beauty of what we're about to do. We're going to pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. And I don't know if you've ever prayed with me before. There's a line or two open. I know it's going to fill up probably in about 30 seconds. But if you want to try to get in, the number here anytime and put it in your speed dial. It's 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Love to pray with you. You can always email us, drew@relevantradio.com. Best way to get through, though, Maggie will be taking your Twitter intentions off. Our Twitter handle's at Drew Mariani Show. So the Chaplet of Divine Mercy is straight ahead. Let's pray for one another. Today, Mass was said for you today, too, and I'll tell you about that when I come back. But don't go away. I've got a number of answered prayers maybe I'll share with you and more. Chaplet of Divine Mercy coming straight ahead.